This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John Davis.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good morning, man.
Man, good morning to you too, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. It feels good to say good morning occasionally. We don't get to do that as often as we used to.
No, but I got to tell you, given the subject matter that we're going to be diving into today, it is very appropriate. That
it does make sense. Yeah.
We're doing this morning. You know, so we mentioned last week, but of course, I am here in Jackson, Mississippi.
That's
with
right.
you.
Yeah.
Now, what we did not mention last week is where we are, like physically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is really exciting. You've talked a bit about this on the show before, but this is my first time experiencing this. The shop has been doing very well. There has been a lot of kind of mix-ups and change-ups in the kind of local industry in
yeah.
the tobacco space, specifically in the cigar space,
yeah.
with kind of some competitors bowing out and new customers looking for a new kind of cigar vendor and everything.
Yeah.
You had moved the old shop to the new location a couple of years ago.
Right.
That's kind of...
Still getting used to that.
Exactly. Still getting used to that, you know, which was great. You had all of this new space. Remember when the current space was all this new space?
And it was like, man, how are we going to fill that up?
Yeah, that happened quick. and so now what was, like, even last time I was here, which was in, I want to say September last year, not that terribly long ago.
Yeah, it was in the fall. Yeah.
yeah. Then you and I were actually recording in the back office.
Right. Which is our blending room.
In the blending room.
Blended all of our pipe tobacco. Back
right.
Here. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're yep. very open about your blending practices. And it's one of those things that we... that's a joke for the long time listeners.
You caught me.
But we were back in the office, and I'm telling you, you know, I think I took a picture and I think I posted it out on social media, so it may be out there somewhere. But it was cramped, if I can say this.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
like
sure.
on either side of us, it was just these shelves packed with pipe tobacco. We had this
yeah.
little table that we were able to fit there with, you know, me trying to, like, you know, set up the old microphones like we used to do on the bar and everything.
We were trying to make it work, and we did, but it was tight quarters.
And so you were at, you know, busting at the seams over there. So as of very, very recently,
yeah, since this week,
yeah, your shipping operation has moved to a new location.
Yeah,
fairly close to the store. It is a drive, but it's not a far drive. Fairly
yeah.
close to the store, and we are actually in the Country Squire Annex, I guess. What are you going to call this place?
I think that's a good way to put it. The Country Squire Annex.
Yeah,
yeah.
With the shipping operation, we've got Caleb the intern, just like a room next door, blending up some stuff.
That's
like,
exactly right. Yeah. So we've got, you know, we're going to do some of our blending on site at the shop, and then some of our blending will take place over here. Always very open about our blending, and then but it is we're only a quarter of a mile from the business.
Well, people were complaining John David's always back there blending, and it's like,
right.
he needs his own blending space. Like, let's just, like, put yeah. him somewhere else.
No, that's right.
He make can
it,
blend
make it comfortable.
Anybody can go
stuff.
Over there and blend. It's
right.
fine. Yeah. Like a comfortable spot for you to blend.
That's it. Very convenient.
Very convenient. Blending
so we're right right down the street from the shop, and it's just very, very good, easy way to you know, tip in and tip out
right
when we need to. So
and also
yeah.
this will be the new place where you'll be recording from.
So we're going to be recording from here from now on. The acoustics are a little better. There's not any kind of crazy construction, and
yes.
Carpeted floors, and, you know, it's just a little more conducive to better recording experience. So, and I can leave the equipment set up and all that kind of stuff.
That'll be real nice.
So, you know, it's fun. We have we needed a two things. You mentioned our shop is you know, doing well. We're fortunately you know, growing. It has presented a lot of growth issues, which we're thankful to have. But you know, yeah, we're trying to get this new humidor that's much larger ready to go. We've got our shipping business that we needed. It has grown in its own right, and so we are, you know, have moved that to a location right down the street so we can help take care of that some. And then our back room at the shop, which was our primary blending room, and we'll still do some of that there, but that's going to be dedicated to pipe storage, accessory storage, some office space. But it's going to give us much more of an opportunity to have a variety in our online offerings.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing, is like, we've kind of been limited basically to what we can put on our website because of space. And so we're, you know, we're hoping to, in the near future, won't be this week, won't be next week, won't be next month, but in the very near future, kind of start start expanding, you know, what we offer on our website.
So. I'm excited. I'm very excited about this location, Matt. Cause like I, you know, you were walking in like, oh, it's all a mess and everything's over here. And they're like, you're like in that John David, like, oh, well, you know, everything's the worst and the sky is falling. I'm just looking down.
Glass half empty.
All I can see is like potential. I'm like, dude, no, like you could do tours. Like when people come for pilgrimages. Now, hear me out. I know you're going to hate me for saying this on air, but like, you know, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. So let me just say that. But I mean, like once you've got this place set up, I could really see like people coming to the shop, kind of getting that shop experience, maybe going next door, get a little coffee, get a little whiskey or something like that.
Right.
And heading over here for like this private VIP experience of like a blending lesson or something like that. It reminds me of, our friend Paul Bonds of Bean Fruit Coffee.
Yeah, that's right.
The location that he was at before, he's in a new location now, but back in the day, he had a location out in the middle of nowhere. And he had this big coffee roastery warehouse, but he also had this little kind of like side room. I don't know if you ever went there, but like he had this little side, like private cappuccino, like machine type situation with pour over. And like this is, and you know, for folks that don't know this guy, like he is a coffee nerd. He is a connoisseur and a nerd when it comes to like the precise temperatures of thing, the roastery. He knows the history, all of the different regions they come from. And this was his personal barista place where he would brew his own coffee.
Yeah.
And he gave us a tour of his, you know, his roastery. And then we came and we sat there at his personal bar and he made me and my wife coffee. I see this space as almost kind of potentially having
kind
that
of being
that
something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Where you can, where, you know, folks could come in and experience something like that.
You never know. You never know. We, you know, are going to, you know, do a lot of those, you know, blending things at the shop and then also here. And it is close to the shop. So we might figure that out.
But, yeah. I know you hate me for saying that on air, but I just think it's got so much potential.
Yeah, it does. We are excited about it. I mean, you know, and frankly, we're just thankful that, you know, in the midst of all the insanity of the world, which is very insane, you know, that we have been, you know, fortunate enough to let our business continue to grow. Yeah. And so we'll see, you know, we're just going to continue to try to, work hard and stay humble and trust the Lord. That's all we got.
Listen, you're not wrong that it has been a crazy year. And I think this has constantly happened year over year. We keep wondering whether or not people want us to stay on the air. And the crazy thing is, it would seem that yes, people do actually continue on Country Squire Radio. The support has continued to grow even in what has been a really, really past tough year, and even continues to grow with the support at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, we want to just say thank you to everybody who has been supporting the show for years now. If you would like to also add your support to the show, head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. You can sign up there, join the International Pipe Club, and also get some great benefits like our first 100 episodes that are available to you. Man, in those first 100 episodes, we talked a little Tolkien.
We did. We talked much Tolkien.
We did. Well, we could have talked more. I think we probably
could.
There's
always room to talk more Tolkien.
There really is. And it's one of those things, I feel like when people think about like a pipe tobacco podcast,
yeah,
especially one that's, you know, kind of, we walk this line of deep industry knowledge and like consumer like fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Kind of the art form of it, but then also the industry. We try to bring that to the table. But I feel like a lot of people would expect, like, you know, you're talking about Lord of the Rings, you're talking about Gandalf, you're talking, it's just a church warden podcast or something.
Right.
Like that. And the reality is no, that we've almost gone out of our way to talk as little Tolkien as possible. I think that's probably fair.
I don't know. I mean, I think we bring a lot of that into the show, which is we should, and it's worth it and worthy of that. But yeah, I mean, we give it some time of day.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's always room for more.
There's always room for more. So what I love is Tolkien, as a pipe smoking icon and somebody who has done much for pipe lore and kind of pipe culture and pipes in pop culture.
Yeah, sure. That's not questionable.
No, I mean, I would argue that there's a ton of listeners tuning in right now who could probably track their pipe journey in some form or fashion. The works of Tolkien has actually had a pretty significant impact. So there's a desire to constantly pay homage there. So I just want to acknowledge that.
Okay.
That aspect.
Uh-huh.
Right? And we agree on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good. Absolutely.
Because there's others.
I've seen it. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, you know, I see it all the time.
Because there's things that, and listeners may not get this, from time to time, you and I don't always see eye to eye on certain things.
You're wrong all the time.
Well, you certainly think that that's true all the time, but there are areas, especially when it comes to content for the show, where you know, we're not always aligned on. Like, so maybe I have a desire for a certain kind of show.
Right.
That, and I won't say it because we made an agreement years ago not to even say it because we were getting such flack from certain listeners who were tired of that joke. But let's just say we do a series called Squire Select.
Oh my.
Where we pair pipe tobacco with whiskey, and it's a lot of fun.
I'm still a little blurry this morning, so I
snuck this one in.
I let myself get blindsided here. It's like that, you know. I know the topic that we're going to discuss today, and it's like, well, you know, obviously there might be room for Bo to, you know, bring in some shades of these other you know, topics that we've shot down hook, line, and sinker in the past. Uh-huh. But here we are.
No. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead.
We do a pairings of a pipe tobacco and whiskey. I have offered up in the past pipe tobacco pairings with other such non-liquid based items.
Right.
And you have vehemently disagreed. You said it would be shameless, I believe is a word that it was
shameless.
Used.
Yeah. Well, one of our listeners even said jumping the shark, which is a Fonz reference. But you know, there's something to be said for that.
Which is why we have made the agreement not to do that episode, probably until the last episode of Country Squire. That'll probably be the case. So we're never doing that. But today, my friend, today this takes our love for Tolkien and our desire to pair pipe tobacco with anything, with anything really. And
which we get requests for all the time.
All the time.
I will have to say, we get requests for this all the time. Man, why don't y'all pair, you know, tobaccos with music or pipe carvers with, you know, music or art or something like this.
Right.
You know, people recommend this regularly. So I you know, I'll grant you that.
Yeah. And so we try to do that sparingly. And so this is the great thing. We've got these two topics that we try to do sparingly. Today we get to marry the two. And not only that, we actually are splitting this up into a two-parter because it's such
this is going to be fun.
A fun one. And so, yes, we are doing a Hobbit meal plan pipe tobacco pair. so let's talk about it, man. Okay, so you know, if you've never read The Lord of the Rings before, you're not familiar with The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings or the
put this down immediately. Go to your local Barnes and Noble. You get to work.
Get on it. You're listening to the wrong like pipe media right now. Like you're right. Consuming the wrong pipe media if you've not read that.
Load up your giant bowl and have at it.
That's right. So you've got these beautiful creatures of hobbits that we have a lot of fondness for, because not only are they hairy like us, not only are they short like us, not only are they, you know, prone to have a couple extra pounds like us, but they're also fans of pipe tobacco like us.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian Levine.
Yeah, well, you know, he's certainly one. But you know, and so there's a lot of affection that goes to kind of this connection that we may feel with the hobbits of Tolkien's work. And the hobbits are a simple folk. They enjoy life and gardening and nature and good quality drink and good quality fun and music and song and dance and food. And one of the things that, you know, that is very iconic to the Hobbit, aside from their hairy feet and their churchwarden pipes, is their multiple meals per day.
That's right.
Multiple meals per day.
Well, you know, the life of the Hobbit, you just encapsulated it very well. And honestly, you know, as we think about it, it kind of is inspiring. You know, when you get lost in the rhythms of the insane day, you know, and how do you get your life back from that? Well, I mean, they focus on the tangible, on the, you know, very on the necessary, on the routine, on the mundane. You know, that's kind of where life is lived, and you know, so it's, we're not just going to eat, we're going to eat with purpose. You know, there's going to be you know, fun and creativity involved in it, and it's going to be a real rallying point of our day and who we are, and so we're going to eat all the time.
Yeah. No, man, it's true. And you know, think about, you know, Tolkien very specifically introduced the concept of pipe tobacco in his universe in Middle Earth from the, specifically stemming from the hobbits. Like, this was a practice that the outside world, the only ones that really adopted the, you know, the hobbit leaf were those that were kind of like more prone to understanding their ways. Everybody else would kind of write it off as frivolous or it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah. And it was, you know, weird. And, you know, they're going about their more like driving towards industry and driving towards, you know, trying to, you know, focus in on, you know, I mean, again, the ring is kind of in and of itself a symbolism of technology and kind of the corruption that comes along with that. And so, you know, there is kind of that tied to the hearts of man that, you know, you have kind of this desire towards this kind of corruption that exists there. And so you think about the ones that fought against it. Those were the ones smoking pipes because they were more tied to the hobbits that themselves were really removed from that desire towards technology. They didn't have as strong an impulse there, Gollum notwithstanding. And so they were enjoying their pipes. They were enjoying nature. And so
it's fascinating.
There is a hero hobbit in every pipe smoker that you reward whenever you enjoy your pipe.
I think that's fair.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And today we are going to reward that in multiple layers because we're going to go through this meal plan and we are going to pair pipe tobacco with every single meal.
Yes.
In the Hobbit's meal times. So I'm going to run it down. So you got breakfast. It's 7 a.m. This is let's do it this way. You wake up, John David.
Right.
You're a hobbit. Your feet are a little bigger and a little hairier.
Right.
You're a little bit shorter, but not much. And this is how you wake up, you start your day, 7 a.m., you're eating breakfast. All right?
Yeah.
Then it's time to get to work because you got another meal coming up at 9 a.m., that's second breakfast.
Right.
All right? Then at 11 o'clock, you have another meal. Then you might forget the name of this, so it's nice that it's 11 o'clock. 11 C's.
Right.
Right. And then at 1 o'clock, you have luncheon.
Right.
Then you got your afternoon tea at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got your dinner at 6. And then, and this is tricky, because you're about to go to bed, you need to make sure, because you've been eating all day, you gotta fill yourself up because you gotta be sleeping. You can't eat while you're sleeping. That's why you got supper at 9.
And supper's at 9.
Supper at 9.
And that, you know, gets you through the night until you reach breakfast again.
That's right. Right. Which is tough, you know, because, I mean, like, obviously, you gotta sustain.
I mean, you know,
you're kind of surprised it's not like a midnight snack.
Why is there, you know, there's only 7 meals. Why aren't there 8? Why aren't there 11?
This is true. But this is what we got. All right. So let's start with breakfast.
Okay.
Great way to start the day. Everybody knows I am team breakfast all the way.
Yeah.
I love me some breakfast. This is the first meal in the Hobbit's day and therefore needs to have a good kind of hearty breakfast.
Yeah.
That is really meant to like hold you over. Cause I mean, you know, you're not gonna have another meal for 2 hours. So this has really got to like hold you over. Right.
Right.
So we want to go with something that's kind of carb heavy, you know, you get those meats. You
yeah.
always kind of think that traditional English breakfast style of food. But let me pitch you some stuff here. So you're sitting down at your plate, you got hash browns and I'm talking like thick cut hash brown potatoes.
Yes. The good stuff.
Yeah. With like leeks and spinach and you got maybe some onions kind of mixed in there. You got an omelet next to that hearty omelet with ham and, you know, onions and tomatoes kind of stewed in and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not skimping here on this omelet. You understand? This is like a 3-egg type of omelet.
Mm.
You got biscuits topped with sausage gravy, smothered in the gravy. I mean, this is, you know, I say an English breakfast.
I'm getting sleepy.
No, man, this is, you start your day. So yeah. So we're talking heavy carbs. We're talking omelet, thick omelet stuffed to the brim with like meat, like ham and that good stuff. You got biscuits and gravy, something that I know as a Southern man, a proud Southern man, you know about a little something about biscuits and gravy.
Oh yeah, of course.
You've just had this breakfast. You're ready for your day. But now you gotta reach for that church warden. You reach for that long church warden. You gotta go to your cellar because I know in your hobbit hole, not only do you have a stock full cellar of food, you got a stock full cellar of pipe tobacco.
Oh, definitely.
All right. So what are you smoking after that meal?
Man, you know, we talk about, and by the way, just, you know, to the listener, this is all from the hip. So
that's right.
So I, you know, this is my
by design.
This is my first impression of what to smoke after Bo describes this meal. So as Bo describes his food, it's like what, you know, and the feeling you get after coming off of maybe that particular diet. And so, you know, the great Southern breakfast is you know, one of those things that you typically go into a food coma afterwards. but you talk about the carbs, the starchiness perhaps of a meal like this. I'm thinking burley. I'm thinking something that is bready and smooth and not too complicated, but very satisfying, comforting, and stronger. Something that's stronger, maybe a higher nicotine content that you know, you're just eating this giant meal that's going to, you know, make you kind of, you know, lethargic or clumsy. And so it's time to, man, what's that big, you know, after breakfast coffee kind of thing, you know, make it stronger, fill up my cup, and let's start the day right. And so I'm going to go burley. And this morning, I'm actually going to go Solani aged burley flake.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, great, great tobacco. It's one of those that, if you're a burley lover, you've certainly smoked it before. It's rich and nutty, you know, is a mixture of burley from, you know, different continents. And it just has a kind of a nice caramelized brown look to it. But the flavor is very, you know, nutty and bready. You have that toast with jam kind of thing going on. It's just very, very good. So, but because it is burley, it has a nice full richness that, you know, features more vitamin N. And so a good way to wake yourself up to get your senses going and certainly recover from getting bulldozed by biscuits and gravy. Jim Gaffigan say, like, biscuits and gravy, like, that should be like a, you know, like a crime against humanity or something.
Okay. All right. That's a good pairing.
Yeah.
I like it. And you're thinking in that same mindset. It's gotta have a little something extra, right? It's gotta get you over.
Well,
get you started.
You know, you've just eaten all this heavy food. Right. And so, you know, you don't want something at that point, particularly complex.
Right.
You know, you're looking for something that, you know, this is not the point where you're going to, you know, really, you know, pay super attention to, you know, nuance and all this stuff. So for me, burley makes a lot of sense because it has this just kind of earthy, simple tones, approachable, you know, comfort food kind of level for me. And so that breadiness that's there, that's just very, you know, attractive and restful and of course, also strong is kind of a nice feature. So, yeah.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. So we've had one. But what about second breakfast?
Second breakfast, yeah.
So of course that was the line that Pippin said that really stuck out in the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring.
That's
that,
right.
Inspired every, like, I feel like there were so many ears that popped up, like perked up when they first heard that. Like, you can have two breakfasts in one day, you know, like what a novelty. But yes, of course, second breakfast. My personal favorite meal of the day.
Right.
I actually had second breakfast today.
Oh, did you really?
Courtesy of somebody being a little bit late this morning.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. And actually, it opened the door. And, you know, as somebody who is in
You're
Jackson.
Welcome, Bo.
No,
welcome.
I want to thank you for it. Because I was about to say, like, I've been trying to, like, be mindful about how I spend my meals while I'm here. So this got me a second breakfast in. So thanks to the good folks at Primo's for my breakfast biscuit that was my second breakfast this morning. But no, but for a traditional hobbit, they would have, you know, or they would have, they do, in the Middle Earth, lean towards something that's going to be a bit lighter when it comes to second breakfast. And this is going to be less savory and a little bit more sweet. You got to think of something that's going to have a little bit more of a pastry or a jam jelly type of flavor profile.
Yeah.
Think of like a strawberry French toast or something of that nature.
Okay.
You know, what are the tart things that like have the jam inside, but then you kind of have the opening at the top.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know what they're called.
It's a French thing. Yeah. Our apologies to the French. But yeah, those
like every week.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. So something of that nature where you got kind of that fruit spread over a sweet bread or something of that nature. So whereas before it was like this more like, you know, kind of the biscuity kind of savory
hearty potatoes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
This one's going to be a little bit sweeter. You're talking fruits, you're talking jams. And I mean, really pastry, I guess, is probably the best thing in terms of like for a modern context. So,
yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So we got, let's.
I like that. Yeah. And so to play with that, we actually years ago designed a tobacco for this meal.
You have the gift of foresight. Tell us what you see.
We did, man. I see, years ago, man, we did, I don't know where to go with that. we designed years ago a tobacco specifically for this meal, and so I'm going to selfishly go with our tobacco at the Country Squire called Second Breakfast. Second Breakfast, you know, it's funny because it does pair with the description you give of this particular meal. You've got the, you know, the first breakfast or just breakfast, you know, that has more of that savory, you know, kind of fullness to it, very heavy in particular. The second breakfast, you know, where you start bringing in maybe some more sweetness. You think of things like honey and maple and fruit, compote and, you know, jams and things of that nature.
And you might come with like a side of sausage, a side, because you know how whenever you get that at like the store, they always like, oh, here's a stack of blueberry pancakes smothered in maple syrup and like here's a strip of bacon to balance it out. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, you gotta, so we gotta cut the sweet, you know. That's right. What we say down here. It's like, you need some more sausage? You got to cut the sweet.
Yeah.
As if that's a responsible thing.
Well, for Hobbit.
Right. Yeah, we're Hobbits. So, yeah, so with this, we are going to go with Second Breakfast, which is a tobacco that we blend at the Country Squire. This is a vanilla with a maple component to it. A lot of people, when they smell this particular blend, the jar note on this features kind of a maple syrup or, you know, a pancakey aroma to it. You know, there's something that, you know, there's a butteriness that's there. The vanilla is delicate. It's not a syrupy vanilla. This is not a syrupy tobacco. It's something that, you know, you won't necessarily need to dry out or anything before smoking. It's not one of those aromatics that, you know, heavily ghosts your pipe or anything like that. The room note on Second Breakfast is amazing. It's something I'm proud of. It's something that you're like, oh, you're smoking that? Oh, that's why it's called Second Breakfast.
Right. It is an aromatic smoker's like perfect, like holy grail of a pipe tobacco.
You can almost think that, like, yeah, if your goal really is the good room note, it's a good place to go.
Yes, sir.
You know, that kind of bacony, like a almost like a, you know, hickory bacon with, you know, maple syrup kind of thing going on. That's a you know, a real treat. And so Second Breakfast evokes that. You have the creaminess that kind of goes with it. And so think of a nice cup of coffee going with that, with maybe a little half and half in it. You know, I'm going to go with Second Breakfast. I think it's good. You've kind of woken up already. You've had your second treat of the day. Introduce maybe a little sugar. You're starting to, you know, make it a little more interesting, some more nuanced flavors and less heavy, but more, you know, pleasing to the aroma. And so, yeah, we'll go with Second Breakfast, which is an aromatic we make at the Country Squire and is a Virginia Burley mixture.
Yeah, and comes highly recommended. Highly recommended. And I love, you know, that just worked out. You know, that wasn't even planned. That just happened.
Oh, it did. It did. That's absolutely right.
I am curious if any of your other Lord of the Rings or Tolkien-inspired blends find their way into this. This next one, man, is Eleven Seas. Now, Eleven Seas, you know, all right, you're a Hobbit. You had your big breakfast, right?
Right.
Or moderate breakfast for, you know, because of Hobbit. And then you had your second breakfast, you know, your sweets and everything. So you're rocking and rolling. But man, oh man, that's that big meal. So you need something that's going to hold you down to get you through the next like hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to get you there to that next big meal. That's where Eleven Seas comes in. So Eleven Seas is kind of like, you know, that afternoon tea in the morning, right? Because we're going to see afternoon tea. That's going to come back around. But this is almost kind of like you think about kind of a meal sandwich where that luncheon's right in the middle. You got to have the tea on either side. You need, you know, and as you pointed out, you've had some heavy food. You kind of need to perk up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe, and I could be wrong, I will kind of throw it to the more well-versed in Tolkien than I don't believe that coffee exists in Middle Earth. It is not at this stage in the game. I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah.
However, tea, on the other hand, very, very much there. So we are talking about kind of that. Think of you know, while we would probably want to do our 11 Seas with coffee as kind of Americans. Let's try to be more Hobbit centric and think about the fact that, like, okay, but they're tea. You know, they're going to have, like, you're thinking about dark tea. Something that's going to have a caffeine kick to it.
Yeah.
You got to keep on trucking. And along with that, you're going to have, you know, some sweet treats, but a little bit lighter sweet treats. So instead of like that French toast with like the stuffed with strawberries type situation, think of something like little tiny lemon muffins. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? With the maybe little poppy seeds. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Those little seed cakes. Maybe like a tea cake or ooh, what are those lemon squares?
Lemon square, chess square, a pettifor.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff, but like in smaller quantities.
Right.
Because like really this is holding you over, right?
At the same time, you know, a meal like this is kind of designed just to create activity in order to keep you awake.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so you do want something for the senses that, you know, I think is going to, you know, be a good ritual to kind of get you through that late morning hump. You know, you do start to get kind of tired during this time, and so you need something that's going to kind of stir it up just a little bit, but without, you know, getting over the top. You're really looking forward to midday at this point. And so I think for 11sies, I would propose an English blend.
Okay, yeah.
So we're kind of coming out of our morning stupor. We've done our burley. We've done our aromatic that makes it a little more interesting. Now we kind of need a jolt. We need something that's a little more, you know, full flavored, a little shock to the sense that's going to, you know, get us kind of on the track to finishing the morning strong. And so an English blend would make sense to me. You want something that's heavy. Obviously, anything with Latakia is going to be on that more full-bodied side, but not something that's so robust that you know, it kind of knocks you down for the day. Something that is approachable, but still has that richness that shocks your sense. Certainly from the second breakfast treat that you had before. And so today I'm going to go with a very approachable English style blend that is incredibly delicious. It's an old favorite, something that you know folks need to revisit if they haven't smoked it in a while. And we're talking about GL Peace Westminster Tobacco.
Ooh, okay.
Great tobacco. Of course, Greg blended this years ago, and one of his you know, best selling tobaccos just does really, really well. Latakia 4. This is an all day English blend. It's one of those that certainly the change of gear from the second breakfast, you're going to get more of the a nice richness that's here that, you know, is not you know, present in those earlier meals. That smokiness that it gives you the sense of, okay, we're kind of doing business here and we're on a mission type of thing. You know, that's very just very you know, a good pairing, I think, for this time of day. So Cyprian Latakia, it's paired with, you know, a variety of Virginias. And there are some Orientals in this particular tobacco, too. And so it has a peppery, musty kind of element here that makes it very pleasing. It's a fine ribbon cut, something that, you know, is easy to pack, easy to light. You know, if you're at this time of day and are trying to focus maybe on work and not just hanging out with your friends, you know, the room note of an English blend may repel the people around you that would be distracting. and so there's a sense in which, you know, right. Yeah, that's good. You've got this leathery, you know, musty English blend that fills the room up. And so therefore it drives away the people that might distract you from the important part of, you know, finishing the morning strong. And so I'll have to go that route. Nice, you know, decent nicotine kick, not something that's overpowering because it doesn't feature a ton of the burley, but certainly the you know, or Perique for that matter, but the strength of it is there, the sensual strength of the aroma and the flavor, the robustness that's there, it provides a nice jolt. So
man, yeah. I love it.
Have to go with that.
All right. Well, this is good, man. Like we've started the Hobbit morning off strong. I think that's gonna get us for this first part of this 2-part series that we're doing on the Hobbit meal and pipe plan, so to speak. You know what? I figured out actually while we were talking about this, I know what I'm gonna call this the series.
What?
Shire Select.
Like there. My initial reaction was like, I'm so impressed. And then I'm like, that's so lame. But yet it's beautiful.
That's what we do.
Shire Select.
We impress with the lame. That you have heard this podcast before, right? Like
I have. 400 times or however many times. Yeah, it's, man, Shire Select.
Shire Select. Oh, man. So this is part one of Shire Select. We'll have part two.
Y'all, he just fell out over here.
Oh, that's hilarious.
We got part two coming your way. But, you know, the great thing about this series is it does this wonderful thing, which is blend food and pipe tobacco. And when it comes to taking like food product and tobacco product and marrying them in a way that only a true genius can, you got to look to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for the really great quality corncob pipes they have. And I know they've got the perfect series of pipes to complement this particular series of podcast episodes.
You are not kidding. And it is the Cobbett series of pipes, of course, made from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum. They do such a good job with these four distinct shapes, the wizard, the dwarf, the elf, and the shire. You know, these are shapes that evoke that sense of, you know, mystique and mystery and, you know,
legend
and meta-narrative and all those things we love to talk about that have gotten so many people into pipe smoking. So, you know, if you want to scratch that that itch of having something that, you know, is more playful, fun, maybe fantasy-oriented, but then also smoke a great, you know, corncob pipe that is a great smoking pipe in its own right. One of the Cobbett series of pipes is certainly what you need to smoke.
Absolutely. And hey, you know, I know a lot of our listeners probably do have pipes from the Cobbett series. It's a great week to enjoy with your second breakfast. If you're happen to bust out your 11 C's tea and treats, be sure to smoke your Cobbett pipe and take a picture of yourself doing so. Tweet it out. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Man, I'd love to smoke the wizard right now. Woo! With a big old bowl of Westminster. That's, and it is 11:35 as we're recording, so hey, that would make good sense.
Yeah, that's time.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, Mad Pipe question of the week coming in from Greg. Here's what Greg had to say. Hi, guys. I hope you're doing well. I just had a quick question, mainly for John David. No offense, Bo. It's always implied it's for John David, but I appreciate that. I was wondering if you had any advice for smoking indoors. Given that you can smoke inside the Country Squire, I was wondering if you have any special air filtration apparatus or apparati? Anyways, love the show as always. Best. And that is, again, from Greg.
Yeah, Greg, great question. In more industrial retail environment where there's just, you know, dozens of people throughout the day smoking a variety of pipes and cigars and imported cigarettes and all this kind of stuff, you know, we do have a more robust air filtration system at the Squire. We have a combination of machines. One is the Blue Ox air filtration system. The other are smoke eaters, which are smoke particle ionizers, actually, that that kind of work in tandem with the traditional air filters. And so, you know, these are going to be more, again, industrial, you know, kind of commercial grade type of stuff. If you're looking for something that, you know, is more perhaps worthy of, you know, a living room or an office or a man cave or something of that nature, you might look into a Rabbit air filtration system. You know, they're not cheap. These are, you know, relatively expensive systems. I mean, it might cost anywhere from, you know, $600 to $1,000. But if you're talking about turning a dedicated room into a place where, you know, the smoke mitigation is very important and it's going to add to your quality of experience, it may be worth you looking into this. Rabbit Air, they make a variety of you know, finishes and different models and all this stuff, but they're kind of they're kind of like the Apple or the Tesla of the filtration world. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, huh. They kind of had this, like, you know, cool designs. They're nice to look at. They're, you know, they're not cheap, but they, you know, made very high quality. They stand behind their product, all that kind of stuff. And so, I would look into one of those. You know, the smoke candles that you get, they work okay. You know, it's something that can help neutralize the odor, but you're not going to want to rely on that as a kind of first line of defense against smoke. You'll really want to get something that, you know, is better about the filtering. And I will say, what's really important on whatever filter you install is that it has some type of charcoal filter involved. The charcoal is very important because it reduces the odor. Mm. So you're not just getting rid of the smoke, you're getting rid of the actual odor. Charcoal, activated charcoal has these, you know, it's, imagine a, you know, charcoal particle that basically been treated so that it's got all these little fissures inside of it. And so these, you know, this charcoal, because it's been treated in a certain way, it has all these little fissures that provide an opportunity for odor and smoke collection. And so that's why it's kind of the gold standard for, you know, odor mitigation, is because it is incredibly absorbent in this state. And so you want some kind of charcoal filter, you know, in this environment. So yeah, check something like that out. I think it'll help. And obviously a, you know, a handy bottle of Febreze never hurt anyone either.
I'm curious, what is the sound like on most filters in particular?
Yeah, the ones we have at the shop, unfortunately, are pretty loud. You know, they really are loud. You know, it's one of those things that is a trade-off. They do make, oddly enough, they make like silencers for some of these things that you can buy that actually, you know, you put on there to mitigate some of the noise. But you can read the decibel level, which is interesting enough, on a lot of these products. And so when you're looking for different filters, you can actually, you know, air filter mechanisms, you can actually read the decibel level that they emit. And so compare those while you're searching, and maybe look for something that has a lower level if that's important to you. So some people don't mind the kind of, you know, sound of the air blowing, you know, through this filter, the noise that it makes, the motor running, all that kind of stuff. And then some people, that's going to be, you know, an important thing to avoid. So your mileage may vary.
You know, I always think about like when we, for the, you know, a couple years that we were doing the show in the shop, after hours, there was always like, we had to turn off the filtration because
we did, you know, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. And you know, it's, and you know, I probably, most people roll in there don't like barely even notice, cause it's part of the experience and everything. I go in there cause we're about to record, and all I can think of is, you know, one particular person that needs to get out cause they're loud. And then, you know, the system that's not quite as loud as that person, but on up there. And so we had always had to shut it down.
I will never forget the first time we installed a smoke eater in our shop.
Yeah.
I will never, ever forget it, because our dear friend Bill, who's in our shop every single day to this day, our dear friend Bill, we turned it on, you know, had the contractor hang up the smoke eater, you know, installed it, you know, got all the filters set up and everything, and then turned it on, and it made all this noise, and he just kind of sat there staring at it while he was smoking his Savinelli. And then he turns to me and he says, "That's kind of like having your wife in the room all the time."
And that's why Bill's always at the Country Squire.
I know. Oh, man. I will never forget Bill saying that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, we try to keep the volume down a little bit.
My goodness. That's crazy. Well, there you go.
Constant drone. That's like having your wife in the room all the time.
Yowza. Yowza. Greg, hopefully that helps you, man.
There's good therapists in the world that can help too.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that helps you. And hey, if you've got a pipe question for us, send it into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
Quick Fire questions! It's got a little weird, but you know what? We'll keep it. Hey, this is the meal edition, which is appropriate.
Very.
Yes. All right, here we go. This, you can only have one.
Okay.
All right. I tried to come up with this on my own just to try to go with the topic and everything.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't land, that's totally on me. Here we go.
Okay. All right.
Eggs or bacon? You can only have one.
Bacon.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have bacon without eggs?
You would have eggs without bacon?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people eat eggs without bacon, but I mean, it's bacon. You never say no to bacon.
Bacon is always a compliment. Eggs is always like a main dish.
No.
Really? You think of bacon?
I can eat a plate of bacon.
Wow. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I mean, that's why I'll die at 50, but you never say no to bacon.
Fair enough. My blood pressure has taken that ability away from me, but that's good. Toast or jelly / fruit. Let me explain this one.
Mm.
So the idea is that you can have toast, but you can't jelly it, or you can have fruit, but no like starch.
Got
it. Like, to go along with it.
Got it. Toast.
Yeah. Because you can sneak honey on it.
Cheater.
That was the right answer.
Yep.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah, I'm coffee all the way. Occasionally I'll do tea, but yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have my coffee. And then finally, a fish with tartar sauce or lemon?
Lemon. I love adding lemon to basically anything.
Yeah.
But that tartness that you add to a really high quality piece of fish, that's pretty clutch.
Yeah, you got to go limit all the way.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, you were correct on everything except for the bacon. Or one would argue I was correct on everything except for the bacon.
Right.
One way or the other. There you go. That's our quick fire for the meals. Hey, if you've got quick fire questions for us, send them on over to the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. That was actually a quick fire question segment.
Yeah,
how about
good.
That?
Yeah, you're proud.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listener feedback coming in this week. First one up is from Dan. It says, "Greeting, gentlemen. This is Daniel Sanford, aka Creators Designed Pipe Craft." Hang on, let me try that again. "Greetings, gentlemen. Daniel Sanford here from Creators Design Pipe Craft, at your service. Just wanted to bring to your attention a new Netflix original movie with a pipe smoker lead character. It's called The Dig, and I'm enjoying it currently. Blessings, Dan."
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So,
no clue what The Dig is about, but sounds awesome.
Yeah. So that's that. I have not seen this yet, but I'm always very curious whenever I see kind of like especially a main character that's a pipe smoker. It's,
yeah.
It's an aesthetic that you don't see all that often. But I feel like there's kind of like right now a sense in which, you know, especially Netflix series is trying to do some things. It's like, oh, you don't see this on TV. But it's Netflix, because it's not TV, it's HBO, Netflix.
It's Netflix. It's not TV, it's HBO, Netflix.
Yeah. So that makes sense. I have a feeling we're going to see more pipe smoking characters in the near future. So that's cool. I'll have to check that one out for sure. Thanks for that, Dan. All right, man. Who's the next one from?
Next one's from Timothy R. Mooney Jr. He says, "Hey, just joined up and wanted to say thanks for all the content over the years. I've been listening for a couple of years now and just pulled the trigger on Patreon. Well, take care and can't wait for more CSR down the road." And that's from Timothy. Man, thank you so much. We appreciate your support, Timothy. Thanks for listening for, you know, all these years and going through the auditory punishment that is a weekly dose of me and Bo. So we're very grateful, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always great to get that feedback and hear your thoughts. I want to encourage all of our listeners. So this is a very interesting series that we're doing with the kind of the going through the various Hobbit meals. And I feel like the, you know, so more often than not, you know, we have the amazing palates and talents that is John David Cole. I'm curious though, based off of kind of what these meals are, what would your choice be? Like, did John David like nail it for these meals, or would you have some different advice? I'm just curious what that'll be from folks. And so email us as we're going along. Kind of keep a little running tally, like for each meal, like what you personally would kind of consider your breakfast, first breakfast, your second breakfast, your 11 C's pipe tobacco. We'd love to see those and kind of see where everybody lands. I think that'd be fun.
Yep, I agree.
All right, man. That's I think that's going to do it for us for this week. We want to let everybody know they can keep up with us. You can send us your feedback. You can email the show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow the show at Squire Radio or John David Cole at John David Cole or the shop at _CountrySquire or the show, which I just said already, which was at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, this has been a lot of fun. We've been talking a lot of food like leading up to lunch.
I'm hungry.
Now I'm hungry too.
Yeah, so it's time to go. And kind of all this breakfasty related stuff, it's like, man, I think I might go to IHOP.
Well, this is a great thing. See, like, we get to go to lunch now, and then we get to come back and do the dinner stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Like, afternoon and dinner stuff. It's going to be great. This is like next level thinking. Not beneficial to anybody but us, but it is very beneficial.
That's right.
All right, man. Let's go have a meal.
See you, brother. Thank you.